I'm Don Mazzella, and we have with us a guest today who's going to talk about a topic that touches us all, caregiving for our loved ones. And on that point, Tina Morelli, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you so much, Don. I'm happy to be here.
Well, Tina, first, tell us a little bit about your personal background. I know you have two books out of caregiving, but first start with a little bit of your personal background.
Well, I'm one of those people that I always wanted to be a nurse, so I'm a registered nurse. When I was in high school, I got bit by a really bad mosquito and got viral encephalitis and was in a coma. So that provided like a lens for me into being, you know, somebody who's sick or a patient. So I've been a nurse. I practice primarily in home care and hospice at home. And as you know, caregiving has exploded because as we're all aging, it's more important than ever that we get the kind of care we need.
Well, you're on this program, Tina, because you've written two books, one for home care agencies, which I want the title of, and one, a more general book for people like myself who have been faced with home care. So first, tell us about your newest book and then also about your other book.
Okay. Well, Home Health Aid Guidelines for Care Instructor Manual is directed towards licensed Medicare certified home health agencies or hospices or private duty organizations who competency test or want to educate their home health or hospice aides. Home health and hospice aides, it's a covered service by Medicare depending if the patient meets certain criteria like any Medicare coverage, where they provide really important aspects of care, meaning personal care and activities of daily living assistance, such as, you know, helping with bathing, bed linens, things that help people stay at home.
Well, that's for the agency, but you also wrote another book. Am I correct?
Yes. That book's called A Guide for Caregiving, What's Next? Planning for Safety, Quality, and Compassionate Care for Your Loved One and Yourself. And that book has won a number of awards, one of them being an AJN Book of the Year Award in the consumer category, third place. Just last month, it got the 2019 Today's Caregiver Friendly Award in the book category from Caregiver Magazine. This book was really written because though I thought I knew something about healthcare, because I have about 10 books out, and I've been the editor of journals, and I've been practicing and managing for a number of years. My sweet 93-year-old father-in-law came in, moved in with my husband and myself when he was 93 and lived with us for 3 years till he died and went to heaven at age 96 with our care and hospice support. You might know that the aging population, the people over age 85, are the fastest growing segment of the population. So like you mentioned, most of us have loved ones we either care for or are trying to continually coordinate care for.
Well, Tina, my experiences with caregiving have been very positive, but I've also heard of horror cases. I'm going to ask you a question. One, why does a person go into being a caregiver? It's in many ways a thankless task, a business, because oftentimes it's often thankless, but it's also dreary and time consuming. Why do people go into it?
Most of the aides I know are really pretty mission-driven. They want to take care of people. They want to do a good job. Family and friend caregivers, as you know, it's because, you know, we love and want to take care of that person. But I think that home health aides and personal care aides, home care aides, there's a number of titles. are pretty mission-driven, and they want to help people with disabilities or chronic illness or disease or cognitive impairments such as Alzheimer's or other kinds of dementia.
It is, but it's a wearying task. Let's go back a little bit and first talk about agencies. What do agencies look for in a caregiver, and what are the traits that you think are the most important for identifying a caregiver and training that person?
Well, like you mentioned, it's a really important role, and the aide has lots of responsibilities, and because of that, the orientation is pretty extensive. You know, that's the time to learn or ask questions. And information, you know, they might get when they're new is things like, you know, what's the role of the team members? Where's my place on this role? Because the aides have to report usually to the nurse. There's care coordination and communication, which is a part of that. How's my patient doing? Do they look the same today? Is something going on that's new? They do nutrition and meal planning sometimes, especially maybe for people who might live alone. And that's, we know how important nutrition is, especially for older adults. They have a knowledge about safety. We all know that falls are a huge problem in older adults, and their related complications, I think I read recently, are the fifth leading cause of death. So whatever we can do to prevent those. And sadly, not all falls are preventable, as you know. They have to document their care, and again, that goes to the organization. Courtesy, showing up on time and is scheduled, probably one of the most important attributes is, you know, that they are timely, take responsibility for their job, reporting changes in a patient's status, again, really important that they know their patient and if something looks different. And then they have certain skills that Medicare requires of them. This is things like, you know, that they've demonstrated effective hand washing or hand hygiene. We know that hand hygiene or hand washing is the main way to not spread disease or to catch a cold or whatever it might be. They help people with, you know, oral care and denture, helping make beds. You know, some of these are so important to people being able to stay home. You know, just to get a shampoo and have a bath and check the blood pressure. They sound really, you know, they're activities of daily living, things we have to do every day to maintain our health. So they're really important.
Well, I think the most important is patience.
Well, that's true. It's been said that's why patients have been called patients.
We're talking with Tina Morelli. She's got two wonderful books out. Tina, again, the titles of your two books?
Home Health Aide Guidelines for Care Instructor Manual. That's the third edition. And for family and friend caregivers, the book is A Guide for Caregiving, What's Next? Planning for Safety, Quality, and Compassionate Care for Your Loved One and Yourself. And the Guide for Caregiving, What's Next? Is also an e-book. And in case you're wondering about the title, A Guide for Caregiving, What's Next? That's because oftentimes there is a next, meaning when you're taking care of somebody as a family caregiver, maybe they have a new symptom, or maybe they fell, whatever it might be. So you really have to be apprised of what next might be so you can contact their primary care provider and go from there.
Are they available on Amazon? Where are they available? Do you have a website?
Yes. The e-books are available on Amazon, and the Guide for Caregiving is available at www.marelli.com, MARRELLI.com, and they are also available on Amazon.
Okay. Well, you know, we're talking about what to me is one of the most important subjects. And I see so many differences. I have a relative who actually babysat for me when I was a baby, and she now has a 24-hour home health care person, and she's now 92. And it's amazing what those people do. And quite frankly, she'd be gone if it weren't for them. But there comes a point, perhaps, where we went to see them on her on Sunday, and we just realized that perhaps the quality of life is not almost not worth living. I mean, how do caregivers help people maintain a whole and a want to live? If you understand the question.
That's a hard one, because that gets into spirituality and how people are feeling. And if they're still having some pleasure in life, depending what that might be, it might be a favorite pet, a TV show they like. Everybody's different. Maybe a faith-based organization that makes home visits. It's really personalized and individualized. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Yes, and should, for instance, you said your father-in-law went to heaven. Obviously, you believe in the spiritual side of things. Is that an important factor in that? I mean, please start.
Absolutely. I think, you know, spirituality is whatever, you know, we think about that from a kind of a life vision perspective. So I think it's really important, especially for the oldest old, and you mentioned your friend in her 90s, but I can tell you when my father-in-law, Otto, lived with us, you know, he took pleasure if we drove him, for example, to the beach to see a sunset, or if he rode in the car, even to the grocery store, or he was able to do what he wanted to do on certain days, be that watch a favorite TV show, talk to friends on the phone. So everybody's different, but that connection, I think, is really important. And that can be hard when somebody lives alone because they don't have that interaction and that stimulation sometimes that keeps that want to up, I guess is a word, to what you might call it, that they want to do these things.
Well,
and sometimes – oh, go ahead.
No, Tina, keep going.
Well, and sometimes it's really hard because at some point some people might not be able to stay at home depending what's going on with them. It sounds like the aides and your friend, your mentor, you know, have a really good relationship, and that's very neat because that's all a part of a really good aide, that those compatibility issues, you know, that ability to get along well is really important. You know, it's
well,
not always a match because it's so personal.
Well, to me, the real issue, I think, is that they're not forgotten. I mean, I can't get over there every day or even every week. But whenever I do, just the fact that I'm there brightens their day. So
absolutely.
You know, people seem to forget that at times. They forget the older people. And that to me is a sadness.
Well, and keep in mind that some communities have like visiting, have visits, you know, even when Meals and Wheels comes in, there's somebody different from the outside coming in to see that person, and it for sure brightens their day. You know, I know oftentimes from being a visiting nurse, when the nurse or the aide comes out, the family or the patient, especially those that live alone, light up. They're so, you know, happy to see somebody. And that's all part of the therapeutic relationship, you know, that somebody's coming to see them specially, you know?
Yes, I do. And to me, that is such an important thing. I don't want to bring a morbid note into this, but when I was a very young reporter, I was sent out to cover a woman said, wrote a note, no one had visited her in 3 weeks. And so what she did is, Well, it was worse than that, and again, this is over 50 years ago. She took out all the food from her freezer, stepped inside and closed the lid, and committed suicide. And it's always kept with me, that story. I mean, I'm a young reporter, and I've never forgotten.
Oh my gosh! I can't even imagine.
Yes, I naturally at the age of 21, I couldn't imagine it either. Now, 50 years later, I can understand it because we see it, and that's why it's so important to have you on this program, talking. How can let me as a professional, what are two or three things our audience can do to alleviate some person that they might know in a situation where caregiving is necessary?
Try to give them a break. It might even just be a phone call. Showing up when you say you're going to show up, because maybe, you know, they just want to be able to take a shower or make a couple phone calls. Maybe drop off meals. You know, keeping in mind if the person is on any special diet. But, you know, if you're cooking for your own family, maybe it's not that much of an effort to also make an extra meal for that person who's alone.
Well, let's go over to the other side. And there are state regulations in every state about caregiving. What are some of the things that you think are the absolute minimum the state should be doing to help not police so much as to improve caregiving, in your view?
Well, I think when aides are competency tested, and then, you know, they're validated, that, you know, they got trained and oriented and that they can do these skills and they can do them safely, I think that's kind of the minimum of what it should look like. And then I think when and this is embedded in some of the Medicare rules, like for home care, that the nurse has to visit the patient and see how things are going, you know, looking at the aid plan of care, talking to the aid, talking to the patient. Those are really important components. And then, you know, states can also, states do what are called state survey visits to organizations. So actually what happens there is they will actually go out, and a lot of times those state surveyors are nurses. Those state surveyors, you know, are registered nurses. And so they go out and see patients too. And I think that's a really good, you know, quality check for how things are, how they look, how the patient's doing, what the feedback from the patient, and if they have a family, what the feedback from the family is. Is the patient getting the care and the personal care and activities of daily living assistance they need? Because, as you know, Medicare and sometimes Medicaid is paying for those services.
Well, can we go into that a little bit? I know you're not. As I ran into someone yesterday who runs a company explaining Medicare, no one fully understands Medicare or Medicaid. But are the ways for people to qualify for aid through Medicare and Medicaid? And do you have some hints for them on how to do it?
There are specific rules related to Medicare and Medicaid. And as you know, Medicare is a federal or national program for anybody over 65 or somebody who's disabled and a few other patient populations. And then Medicare.gov has a lot of information on the web. And then the National Association for Home Care and Hospice also has information, and that's nahc.org. So there are resources related to who's covered. And then when you have questions, oftentimes your family physician or nurse in the office knows the rules related to home care. Generally, people have to have a skilled care need, and oftentimes they come out of the hospital with that. Let's say somebody fell God forbid, like Otto did, and he had a fracture, so he had surgery. And so afterwards, you know, you can get care for a limited time. So you might have a nurse and a physical therapist and sometimes a home health aide for to do that personal care or activities of daily living that we mentioned. And that, though, might just be like for an hour or so to do those tasks, and then they go on to their next patient. So we really need to value those aides, because you can imagine, just like home care nurses, the aides make lots of visits in a day. And just think of traffic where you live. I don't know exactly where you live, but I've been in New Jersey, so I know what the traffic can look like on bad days. Now, imagine making 5 or 6 or 7 visits to give a bath and maybe help with meal preparation or whatever that patient's needs are on that plan of care, because home care and hospice are both physician-directed programs. So there have to be orders from a physician for that care. And that's why respect is such a big issue. And thanking aides, because it is a hard job. They really want to do a good job. And I think they're one of the most important members of the healthcare team, because they are the organization's and the family's eyes and ears.
We're talking with Tina Morelli, who has two books out. Please, Tina, the books again and how people can get them.
A Guide for Caregiving, What's Next? Planning for Safety, Quality, and Compassionate Care for Your Loved One and Yourself is at www.morelli.com, MARRELLI.com. And the holidays are coming up, so we have lots of people getting those, you can imagine, for gifts for caregivers. And that's also available in an ebook. So Amazon is an ebook, for example, or Kindle is an ebook. And then the book that just came out for organizations who competency test and train and offer aides ongoing education is called Home Health Aide Guideline for Care Instructor Manual. And that's the third edition of that book, because aides are so important. So that book has lesson plans related to topics like the special and valued skills needed in home health and hospice care, the team concept, working together to help patients, what are the documentation requirements, aide safety, infection control and prevention, safety first, and stress management and self-care for the aides. Because as you can imagine, the population's aging. And I don't know, I'm sure you've heard these numbers, but older adults comprise the fastest growing segment of the population, and the 85 plus age are the fastest growing segment. And there's 10,000 boomers, baby boomers, turning 65 every day, a rate the U.S. Census Bureau estimates will continue until the year 2030. So when you think about that, and that's just even hard to wrap, or it's hard for me to wrap my head around. Those are staggering numbers.
Couldn't agree more. Tina, we have just 2 minutes left. What else would you like to, what would you like to leave our audience with?
Appreciate home care and home health aides, community health workers, all the people really trying to help people age in place and remain at home when they can. And for the, and also to visit people who are alone. I know you gave us that very tragic story from when you were a young reporter, but you can really brighten someone's day, whether it's sending a card, sending them stamps so they can write notes. If they can no longer write notes, offering to write notes for them so they can dictate notes to loved ones they might want to stay in touch with. It's really important for the oldest old, because they've lost so many of their cohort or their friends, you know, who are also in their 90s.
Well, forget that. I'm in my 70s and I'm losing them just about every day. But it's so true. And Tina Morelli, we're so glad you came and joined us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Nice meeting you, Don. Take care. Thanks for the great work you do.
Well, you do more.